You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
The Wire.
I don't know, and frankly the whole thing gives me the heebie-jeebies.
The Wire.
Yesterday, the Education Hub, a non-profit organisation that connects teachers with education research, released a report on neurodivergent children in schools and early childhood centres. Gathering testimonies from 2,400 people, the report found that 15 to 20% of the population is neurodivergent, meaning they have conditions including autism, ADHD, dyslexia and anxiety. Although the school system is supposedly inclusive, the Education Hub says schools and early childhood centres are failing neurodivergent children. In response, it has called for more funding and a law change regarding specialist provisions or supports for children with special educational needs. I spoke to Professor of Disability Studies and Inclusive Education, Missy Morton, at the University of Auckland, about the report and what support for teachers, neurodivergent children and the families of these children should look like. Would you firstly be able to just explain what the Education Hub report was and what it found?
The Education Hub report is titled The Illusion of Inclusion, and it's a really important study that brings a much-needed conversation into the light of day. So first, I really want to congratulate the authors, Nina Hood and Romy Hume, because their report is both comprehensive and accessible. They interviewed, or in various ways, collected information from to almost 2,500 people. So these were parents and whānau of young people. They were neurodivergent children and young people themselves. They were teachers, teacher educators, support workers. So a very wide range of perspectives were collected. And they were very consistent in saying that the system's broken. It's broken because of the lack of resources, there's a lack of understanding, there's a lack of support. I think we could probably conclude that there was a lack of commitment to equitable and quality education for all kids, and particularly neurodivergent children.
Were the results surprising to you?
No, they're not, sadly. It follows on at least 30 years of research, including research that was carried out by the Ministry of Education itself, showing again and again and again that the system is broken. What this report does, as I said earlier, brings it back into the light of day and puts the conversation back on the table. But we have to ask, really, how many times do we need to do this kind of research before the minister and the ministry do more than simply pay lip service to the experiences of neurodivergent people, their children, their family and their teachers?
Could we touch on a little bit about what adequate support for neurodivergent children looks like and how it differs from support needed for neurotypical students?
Well, in a lot of ways, it's not that different. What's probably different is recognizing and valuing neurodivergence in our early childhood centres, our classrooms, our universities and other tertiary organisations. So we're still a little bit driven by the kind of myth of the average, and we organise schools and learning centres with a kind of particular view of children and how they learn and what teaching should look like and so forth. So we're increasingly better at being more differentiated in our responses and in making sure that kids have access to lots of ways of engaging and participating. Teachers are very creative, very committed, but they just don't have enough hands, eyes and ears in the room. So, for example, NZEI, the teachers' union, has argued for a long time to make sure that there's a teacher's aide who is also trained and supported in every classroom. There's not enough access to the kinds of things that give kids access to basic equipment like communication devices and so forth. So again, people will be creative, but they're flying, you know, they're building the airplane as they're flying it, and there's a lot of reinventing of the wheel. So there's lack of sharing of resources, lack of access to resources, and then the funding system is just so unfair, so unresponsive and so unfair. So what the report has asked for is a lot better investment in teacher education, both pre-service when people are learning to be teachers, as well as professional development for people who are already in place. A lot more resources made easily available that talk to teachers about strategies for neurodivergent learners. So there are some already on the ministry's website, but the website's a little bit hard to navigate, although I understand that they're doing a lot of work to restructure that so that it is more easily findable. But it relies on an individual or small group of teachers being curious or committed to spend hours finding stuff and then translating it into practice.
And as you've kind of said, the report said that inclusion was an illusion for too many young people, citing that New Zealand doesn't have specific education legislation regarding specialist provisions or support for children with special education needs. How do you think the government will address the report's finding? Do you think that this legislation is something we can expect to see being introduced in the future?
Well, I wish I could say yes, but they've not managed, as I said, there's 30 years of this research, including their own research, saying the funding system's broken, the legislation isn't sufficient enough. We've had ministers of education in the past say things like, you know, we can't tell schools what to do in terms of who to enroll or how they teach, but, you know, we've seen where the ministry can be quite, what would you call it, direct in how it changes the school's practices, so putting in statutory managers and so forth. So I'm not saying that that's what's required now, but I'm saying that I would certainly agree with the report that it notes that our legislative setting is very weak in terms of actually supporting inclusive education. So for example, if we were to look at how we would change some of the funding models, we would note that we need increased investment at all levels of the system, early childhood through to tertiary. So that seems like teacher's aids, like resources and qualified teachers available. Making teaching a desirable profession, making learning to be a teacher affordable so that we have teachers who are competent and confident and stay in the profession. We need a funding model that drives collaboration rather than competition. Again, that's right through from early childhood through to tertiary. I think that's an ideology that's well past its use by date. And I think we need a funding model that invests at least equally, if not more so, in local schools being able to be fully inclusive. So one of the things they talk about is that getting access to individualized funding is torturous at best and doesn't work necessarily even when you've got it. So this is what's called our ORS scheme, ORS, Ongoing Resourcing Scheme. An unintended consequence of that scheme is that it's driven resources and students into special schools that take children and young people out of their neighborhoods and communities. Families are then between a rock and a hard place, making decisions about if, you know, the special school is telling you we've got all the resources, come to us, and they're seeing that a local school doesn't. You kind of have Hobson's choice there. I think a real question that many of us still struggle with is this, what is it going to take for a Minister of Education to stop throwing our neurodivergent children, all of our disabled children, into the too hard basket? That's the question that's still out there for us.
And just to summarize, in addition to addressing the education system, how can we better support families of neurodivergent children as well?
Well, we could make sure that we don't cut their funding to carer support. We could make sure that there are guidelines for agencies about how to support, you know, families. And I don't mean in terms of resources necessarily, but, you know, how do families get a break if that's what they need? How do we make sure that even beyond school, we know that families will have confidence that their kids, as they get older, will have opportunities to be engaged in further education. We need a clear vision of a future in New Zealand where we value all of our learners and all of our graduates from school, access to being able to participate in NCEA, the whole gambit of things that families normally expect to be able to look forward to as their kids get older.
That was Professor of Disability Studies and Inclusive Education, Missy Morton, at the University of Auckland, speaking about schools and early childhood centres failing neurodivergent children with respect to a recent report by the Education Hub.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95bfm.com/bcasts.